ladies and gentlemen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Send us your ideas. We are open to any idea.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What are your two cents on the running back market right now, Mark Ingram?
I think it's criminal that they're trying to do our position like this.
Would you tell them to hold out?
I definitely would.
Today's guests, three-time Pro Bowl running back Chris Johnson, actor and comedian Godfrey, 13-year NFL veteran Ephraim Salaam, and now sitting in for Rich, it's Mike Hill.
Hey, look who they let back in the studio.
I'm back.
It's Friday. What's up, y'all? Mike Hill hanging out with the great Rich Eisen Show on the Rich Eisen Show. Call us at 844-204-RICH in the house on this Friday. So happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm with my fellas. My guys are here. Chris Brockman. What's up, Chris?
What up, Mike? Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you as well, my man. I'm going to get to you last there.
As you should.
TJ, my man. Mike Fresh J's as always looking good.
I mean, you know how we do. And ladies, let's try to like not have beef this time with me and you.
No beef. You know what I'm saying? No shaming about everything. You know, you got the J's on, whatnot.
I appreciate it.
You got some plans for this weekend?
Not yet, but you know the day's not over yet.
I might have something for you. I'm just saying. Let Mike take care of things for you.
I had to get to my man over here last, though,
because this is my guy. I've been going back with him since I've been at Fox Sports, which has been 10 years now. Oof. My man, Del Tufo. It's been a long time. You weren't here the last time,
no,
man. Are you
a
millionaire,
upset.
Too?
I was like, Mike's going to be here tomorrow. I'm like, what are you? And I was like, I had to do a game. I was like, not happy.
I came in. Jason was here last time. Right, mm-hmm. Jason came in. I found out Jason's a millionaire now, driving Maseratis around. Like, I'm like, how much are they paying these damn audio guys around there, man?
Wait till you see my car.
Business.
You haven't seen my car. The audio guys. No, you don't even.
What you got, a Bentley?
You don't even want to know. We'll just keep it at that.
That's a Jersey guy right there.
But I'm just saying, Mike, if you want to steer your kid into a profession, send him to audio path.
Send him audio. Or send him to Mike, because he's from Jersey, man. Like, I don't know. The license plate might not be legit. You know what I mean?
It's paper right now, so I don't
stolen?
Know.
It is not stolen. No. It's just borrowed for a long period of time, and nobody knows. I am Mike Hill hanging out. Guys, I'm so happy to be here with you guys today. You know why? Because it's a special day for me. This is my anniversary.
Oh man, happy anniversary.
This is my anniversary. 10 years ago today, I arrived in Los Angeles.
Wow.
I came here, left ESPN after 9 years, and came over here to start my run over at Fox Sports 1. So happy to be sitting in for Rich Eisen, who, of course, I didn't get a chance to meet Rich when I was at ESPN. I didn't get a chance. We didn't cross paths because he's already been at the NFL Network, but heard about him a lot. And to be able to do this show on my anniversary is a special honor and a special treat.
So
happy to be here with you guys, man. This is a fun Friday. You know, like last time I'm here, like I enjoyed myself for those 3 hours. I put some of it on my resume tape, still looking for a real good job. You know what I'm saying? You know, somebody out there, huh? Let me know. I wanted to kind of keep this open-ended. Mm-hmm. I want us to have fun as always. We're going to talk about a couple of topics. Of course, I want to get into the Jets opening up training camp yesterday, mm-hmm. a little bit with Aaron Rodgers, of course. I want to talk about the running back situation. As you heard, we got Chris Johnson on the show coming up. My man Ephraim Salaam, who is a former NFL lineman, who is now a writer in Hollywood. Of course, the writer's strike that's going on right now in Hollywood. I'm actually on strike because I'm in SAG-AFTRA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't get no acting roles, so it ain't, like, affecting me that much because I ain't actually working or whatnot. But, so I want to talk to him a little bit about that. But I want to start off today because, ding dong, the witch is dead. Finally. The Daniel Snyder era is finally over.
See ya.
And I know a lot of people in Washington, around the NFL, and around just the world is just so happy. This man, look, they need to do a better job of vetting when they decide to sell franchises to these guys out here. And Daniel Snyder, like, I guess when he first came in, he had the money or whatnot, seemed like he had the great vision, wanted to change things around. remember the beginning when he brought in all the old veterans when he first got there?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he fired the gentleman. He had Cerati, came in as a general manager. That was a disaster. Remember, he was the Steve Spurrier. He hired Steve Spurrier as the coach. That was a disaster.
If you were a veteran and wanted to get paid, you went to Washington.
You went to Washington.
Remember, Dion got a bunch of money to go to Washington.
All
these old veterans, man. It was a place to be if you wanted to get paid.
Yeah, it was. And it didn't pay off. That's what I'm saying. So it paid off for the veterans, but it didn't pay off because in his tenure there as the owner, the team finished 164 and 220, two playoff wins. The last time the former Washington Redskins, now the Commanders, former Washington football team, last won a playoff game was back in 2005. A proud franchise has been pretty much demolished and now has to be rebuilt by this new owner, Josh Harris. And no, by the way, Daniel Snyder got fined yesterday by the NFL, $60 million. That's a fine. That has to be the biggest fine of all time. I don't think anybody's ever – have we looked into that? Is that the biggest fine that anybody has ever been fined in professional sports of all time? $60 million, not $6 million, $60 million. But get this. He sold the team for $6.05 million. You know what the 05 million?
Billion.
Billion. $6.05 billion. So you know what the 05 part of that $6.05 billion is? That's $50 million.
That's fine.
So he basically had to give up the NFL. Like, okay, he should have sold the team for 6.06. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then that would have been the fine. I'll just come out with a crisp, even $6 billion. How? It befuddles me sometimes. Because these owners are terrible at what they do. Destroy franchises, proud franchises. We're going to get to the Clippers. Clippers have never been a proud franchise, but, you know, we know what Donald Sterling did. We're going to get to the worst owners of all time in just a second. But you look at what Daniel Snyder, he bought that team. You know how much he bought the team for?
We said that yesterday, Chris. Was it?
$800 million.
Okay. Yeah, I know it was less than.
Was it the highest price paid for an NFL team at that time?
At that time.
Yeah.
The payoff. So the invent, look, $6.05 billion to be terrible.
It's a great ROI.
That is, man. Look, so if you forget cryptocurrency.
Yeah, right.
Forget investing in your 401k. And all, man, you better get you a team. And you could be terrible as an owner of the team and still have it pay off for you. So this guy, $6.05 billion. Now, of course, Josh Harris comes in, buys the team. Magic Johnson, part owner of the team. Magic, part owner of the team.
Magic's got 4%.
That's enough.
I'll take
4%. Yeah, 4%. Yeah. Let's see. What's 4% of $6.05 billion?
$242 million.
That ain't shabby. That ain't shabby. It's like a quarter of a billion. You know what I mean? That ain't shabby. And you got 4%.
Does Magic write a check? How does that work?
I think he got his. So they got
the Brinks truck.
You can
up.
Have more than 25 people as part owners of a team in the NFL, right? So I think they got about 20. That's part owners of the team. He got 4% of that or whatnot. And, of course, Josh Harris, the majority owner of the team, so he puts up a lot. He's also the owner of the Devils and the Philadelphia 76ers, right? So he's got these teams out there or whatever. But I think maybe Magic has an investment group himself that puts in that money or whatever. I don't think Magic just throws out, you know, like he got a lot of money himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't think Magic is quite a billionaire yet, I don't think. But I don't think he's got $242 million just laying around that he's going to invest on the Washington Commanders. I don't think that's the way it works. But he's got an investment team that's behind him that obviously puts in so they can become a part owner of what he partly owns as well. So I think that's the way it works. But they're talking about changing the name of the team. We're going to get into that just a little bit second. But at the same time, man, when you think about Daniel Snyder and what he didn't do, for the Washington franchise as far as he ran it. When you look at the worst owners of all time, where do you think Daniel Snyder ranks?
You know, we talked about this yesterday with Don Van Natta, the ESPN reporter. He had Dan as the worst.
The worst?
As number one. All the different things that went on, the transgressions, the investigations, the fines. The lack of winning.
Yeah.
He had Dan first.
Whoa. Ah, that's interesting. TJ, I'm happy to chime in on that. Because, you know.
I mean, you've got Snyder. You've got Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yesterday, Dawn talked about a guy who, you know, I kind of a friend of mine who's a Washington fan we spoke about, which was George Marshall, the last owner who integrated the NFL, didn't want, you know, wanted to keep segregation up. He's someone who I feel you could put on there. You know, I don't know. I think maybe overall he might be the I don't know. Sterling was so bad, though,
yeah,
guys. I'm
Sterling
like,
was
Sterling was so bad.
Here's what I will say. Man. I don't know. You guys on the radio can't see me, but you probably can hear me, and people on television can see me. Like I'm black.
If you don't know,
if you didn't know,
you know.
What? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sometimes, you know, I could have grown up in a certain way. You know what I mean? I could have done that. But, I'm a black man. I think, you know, Daniel Snyder's terrible. Don't get me wrong. For what he did to the team, you're talking about sexual harassment, talking about the money issues, you're talking about being fined $60 million, non-winning, the coaching changes over the years, whatever. Destroying a proud franchise. Yeah. That's what Daniel Snyder did. But racism kind of trumps it all, bro.
To me, that's why I'm like, Sterling.
Sorry, not to make it much of a race issue, but like, Sterling was terrible. Sterling didn't build a winner until later on. Of course, he had, you know, the Doc Rivers scenes with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and whatnot.
Lob City.
But they could never made it to the Western Conference Finals with him as an owner. They never went to the NBA Finals with him as an owner. He was very cheap, the whole Elgin Baylor situation with him. Yeah. And, by the way, then, his girlfriend drops a dime on him and all that type of stuff. Speaking of Magic Johnson, you know what I mean? He don't want certain people at his games or whatever.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? So I think Sterling. Then how about my man Robert Sarver?
Yeah, Robert Sarver, yeah.
Sarver,
yeah,
was
he's another one.
So Sarver was the guy that if you look from the outside in, if you see him just on the periphery, the perception was he was this great owner, great guy, whatever. But then he had this thing that was happening behind the scenes where he was, you know, dropping the N-bombs and all that type of stuff and had to sell a scene. But the thing is, when you are banned, Sterling, when you are banned from the league.
Literally taken away from you.
You had your team taken away. You had your players quit on you. Your players basically dropped jerseys.
In the playoffs.
Talking about not playing a game.
Not a game. The playoffs.
Playoffs.
Yeah. In the playoffs. Chris, are you talking about star players dropping jerseys because their owner was racist,
the worst.
It's prejudice, whatever you want to call him, bigot, whatever you want to call him. And so, yeah, man, so when it comes to that, I think that Donald Sterling definitely takes the cake because the lifetime ban, being cheap, racism and all that type of stuff. And I got a personal beef for when it comes to worst franchise owners of all time. I'm a Knicks fan.
Rich would agree with
Rich
you.
Rich is a Knicks fan.
I'm just
yeah.
People on the radio can't. I'm just looking right now. I'm just looking into the camera.
Mike's head is shaking. Like, he's not blinking.
His eyes are tearing.
We might
look for a tissue, Mike.
I get emotional. I think about Dolan. His daddy was good. I liked his daddy.
Yeah.
I liked his daddy. I used to work for his daddy when I was at MSG.
A word?
Yeah, when I was at MSG a long time ago, man. I've been in this business for a long time. Oh, but I look good. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Black don't crack. That was,
you know the routine.
Days don't age. You know how it go, bro. You know what I'm saying? Moisturize.
Days don't age.
Moisturize. You know what I'm saying? Hydrate.
Yeah.
Stay happy. That's why I got a divorce. I had to be happy. You know what I mean? You know, I am not going to live my late night, my late years being unhappy. That's not going to happen. Nothing against him because that could be in blogs tomorrow and stuff like that because she's a celebrity. Anyway, no, but James Dolan, man, what he's done with the Knicks, just horrible. Thin skin, can't win, doesn't want to win, doesn't put a winner on. And this is the Knicks. People come out. We want to see a winner on the floor. We want to see excellence on the court.
It's the garden.
Yeah, it's the garden. It's the Mecca. And he can't even get good free agents to come to New York because partly because of his culture. Partly because of the people he hires. Now, of course, two of the last 3 years, they've kind of turned things around. They finally won the playoff series last year. See how far they can go this year. But still, man, James Dolan, honorable mention. Now, I will also say there are other owners out there that are good and bad. Jerry Jones. Mm. We talked about this before the show came on, TJ, your team. Jerry Jones. A lot of people don't like Jerry Jones. A lot of people love Jerry Jones. I, for one, actually like Jerry Jones. I covered Jerry Jones when I was down in Dallas. He loves his team.
Yeah.
His players seem to love him. They don't really have beefs with him after they leave. They understand the business side of things. And as you mentioned, he has the Cowboys, a great, proud franchise, won a couple of three Super Bowls early years. Well, that was Jimmy's team. I'm going to give Jimmy the credit for it. But he was the owner of the team, so we got to get credit.
He got the trophies.
And his ego kind of got in the way, which is the bad side of things, because he wanted to be the general manager, and he speaks more than – I hear more from Jerry Jones than I hear from Dak Prescott.
That's true.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying?
You hear more from Jerry than almost anybody else.
Yeah. Jerry loves them cameras, man. Jerry,
settle down just a little bit.
But he loves a camera. He ain't going to shy away from a camera. That's his team. Mark Cuban's the same way. Mark Cuban is like the front of the, like, no matter who's on the team, the most popular person, part of the organization is the owner, Mark Cuban.
Yeah, for sure.
And Jerry Jones for the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, hopefully the Cowboys can get things turned back around and they can win another Super Bowl. Because it's been a long time, man. What, they won, what, two playoff games in the last since they won the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Or something like that? And that's sad for that Cowboys organization. So we're going to talk about that. 844-204-RICH. They're also talking about name changes for the Commanders again. I still want to call them – I never call them the Redskins. I call them the Skins. Back in the day when I was on SportsCenter, when I was doing Fox Sports Live, I always called them the Washington Skins because I didn't want to offend people even back then, and never called them the Washington Football Team. I just thought that was stupid. But they're talking about changing the name of the Commander. So we want to hear from you Washington football fans out there. Give us a call at 844-204-RICH. Let us know what name you would like your football franchise to be now that Daniel Snyder is gone. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. Also, coming up on the show, once again, we got Chris Johnson talking about NFL running backs. But coming up next, we will talk to Mr. CJ 2K, of course, about the NFL running back situation that's going on right now. It is pretty much the position is obsolete, becoming obsolete in the NFL. We'll talk to Chris Johnson coming up next right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
If you're like me and you're on the run, you need help finding good food and eating right. And now that we're in the thick of summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals to support sunny, active days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track reaching your goals. If you're too busy with summer plans to cook but want to make sure you're eating well, well, with Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy. Then get back outside and soak up the warm weather. This July, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/Eisen50 and use code Eisen50 to get 50% off. That's code Eisen50 at factormeals.com/Eisen50 to get 50% off.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
I cannot believe you watched Charles Oakley get dragged out of Madison Square Garden with your own two eyes, Bobby. I mean, I could not.
Spike Lee was there.
You couldn't believe it.
Did everyone just like it during
the timeout? Wait a minute, Spike Lee was there?
Boo, boo, boo.
That's nice. That's that next thing you're going to tell me Jack Nicholson was at the Lakers game.
McEnroe was there. I know McEnroe, he was right there. Was Woody, he was like he practically was, in Oakley's lap.
Yeah, was Woody Allen there?
He was not.
I don't know why that's funny.
John Lithgow? Was John there?
Steve Earle was there. I saw Steve Earle.
Oh, really?
This is the new Madison Square Garden.
Leon was there, the actor.
Oh, sure.
He was there.
What about...
Bob Costas? Told you.
Costas. Now...
Oh, yeah, you got to tell...
Oh, can you tell this story?
Not feeling me.
You got to tell the Costas story.
Tell the story.
When I was like 21 years old, I went to the... what was it? The Heisman Trophy.
At the Downtown Athletic Club?
Yeah, I managed to get invited. Like, I had an extra ticket, or somebody gave me a ticket, and I went to the thing. And I went to the bathroom, and Bob Costas was in the next urinal. And I was like 21, so this was 1990, 91. And I said, and I was peeing, and I went, I just wanted to say, I'm a big fan of yours. And he told me, and he went, don't you know the rule? You're not supposed to talk when you're in the urinal. And I was like, oh, God, I didn't. That's how I learned the rule. Anyway, so I'm at the Knicks game. and I never met him before since then. And I said to him, hey, this is Bobby Cannavale. I just wanted to introduce myself and say, when I was 21, I told him the story. And he went, doesn't sound like something I'd say. Shot me down. Just complete shoot down.
Twice. Well, he was also sitting on the toilet when you told him the second time. He was. Like, hey,
so what did you?
And shut the door, dude. I don't care that you have two Emmys. Chip. Shut the door, Chip.
I love it. Mike Hill in for Rich Eisen. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Sitting in for the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We're about to get to Chris Johnson in just a second. He's standing by. Real quick, before we go to break, you guys do those flashbacks from the TV. And Bobby Cannavale, is how you pronounce his name? Yep. Great actor. Love him. He was on with Paul Rudd talking about when Oakley got dragged out of the Garden that night. I was there. I was at the game.
Wow.
Because I was doing the Clippers pre- and post-game show. They were playing the Clippers. I couldn't believe what I saw. And then he talked about meeting Bob Costas at a urinal. I've met two famous people while standing at a urinal.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
My first encounter with Scotty Bowman. I was in Scotty Nashville. Bowman. Scotty Bowman.
Nice.
Scotty Bowman. Great, NHL iconic legend. Red Wings coach, NHL legend. Yep. There, the urinal, chilling, young guy, like 26 years old. Bam, he comes up. Hey, how's it going? He's talking to me. He doesn't know who I am, but he's talking to me. And I'm like, okay, you know, I ain't say anything about the rule because, you know, the rules don't apply to icons. You know what I mean? So he can talk to me, and I'm, you know, talking back. You know what I'm saying?
Like, hey.
And then the second time, I'm at ESPN, and I'm right outside the green room for the NBA, and I'm at the urinal, and in comes this tall figure. And I look up and he said, hey, young fella, how you doing, man? Pleasure to meet you. No, I couldn't shake his hand, obviously, because my hand was full. Very full. And look up, I'm like, that's Magic Johnson.
Oh, wow.
Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson. Now, my first official meeting with Magic Johnson was at the urinal, man. So, yeah, so he shook, you know, washed my hands, shook hands, you know.
And now he's the owner of the Washington.
Now he's the owner of the Washington. Next time I see Magic, remember the first time we met, man? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, that was my story. Chris Johnson, he was a hell of a football player back in the day, of course, three-time Pro Bowler, NFL rushing king back in 2009, one of five players ever go over 2,000 yards. And we got to talk about the state of the running back right now, because the state of running back is a dying breed in the NFL. When you talk about Saquon Barkley not being able to get his contract, and Josh Jacobs, who was the rushing king last year, not able to get a long-term deal right now, see if they're going to play at all this season. Chris Johnson joins us right now on the Rich Eisen Show. CJ, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good. Just chilling, man. That's it. How you doing?
Oh, you're good, man. You ever have any encounters at the urinal like that, man? Like I was just talking about, you ever meet anybody at the urinal? Anybody try and talk to you at the urinal while you trying to handle your business?
I don't think so. Not off the top of my head right now.
Well, that's bound to happen now that you've been on the show. Let's talk about the running backs in the NFL, or the lack of running backs, man. Why do you think the running back position right now has been devalued?
in your opinion?
I just think it has been devalued over the way that they're trying to turn the league into like a straight passing league. Like, I've been saying this for years and years. Like, yeah, you get those certain teams, they're going to pass the ball all over the field. But when it gets December, January, playoff football, we all know that you got to come back to that running back. You got to have a running game. Know what I'm saying? So, like, that's a big part of it, why I feel like they have devalued the game. Because, like, when I was coming up or when I was playing, like, it was like we getting 20, 25 touches a game. And, like, with things that I've seen, like, in the past years, like, you would be watching a game, and then in the stats, the running back could have, like, 50, 60 rushing yards and, like, 40, 50 receiving yards, and they say he had a great day. But when we was coming up, that was a terrible day for us.
Yeah, but let me play devil's advocate here. All right, so the game has evolved. The game has changed over the years. Back in the day, you didn't see too many back in the 80s and the early 90s. Even as quarterbacks, you didn't see a lot of 4,000-yard passes. You definitely didn't see a lot of 5,000-yard passes. But now you're seeing that almost every season. If you don't have a 4,000-yard passing season, it's almost like you didn't have a really good season as an NFL quarterback. As you mentioned, the game has evolved to more of a passing game. So how do you feel like running backs in today's game have to adjust to what the league is doing on offense?
Okay, well, first of all, I got two things to that question.
Mm-hmm.
I like that you say you devil advocate and you see the 4,000 to 5,000 passing yards. I'm going to point out a guy. We're going to talk about shirtless Kirk Cousins. He's going to give you 4,000 yards in the regular season, and then come the playoffs, he's going to on the money. Like, you got to run the ball. That's why, you know, we get the playoffs, but we lose in the first round or this and that because the running game. Know what I'm saying? But yeah. When you come to it, like I played with a guy by the name of Bruce Arians.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout my whole career, you know, it was running back, like worry about rushing yards and this and that, and then, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield, still being that threat. Now I go inside with Arizona Cardinals, I'm with Bruce Arians, and 80% of the time, it's like, you know, as a running back, we're not sitting back there blocking those guys that's coming in. We're doing free release. Or you going out wide running routes on the linebacker, so it's all about a mismatch.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go like my practice schedule and look at the game different. Now I got to focus more on running routes from the outside. I got to focus on making sure I'm getting 100 to 200 catches in on the jug machine every day after practice, because I know in this offense we're trying to create mismatches and I'm going to have to catch the ball out on the outside. It's different with running right on the outside and coming out of the backfield.
Right. So now on the running backs, if you're not catching the ball out of the backfield, like you're a good receiver out of the backfield, right? I think in today's game, as a running back, you have to be able to stay on the field for all three downs and be able to catch the ball out of the backfield, even on first down, and be a good pass protector as well. So if you're a running back, don't you feel like because the game has changed, then this is what the league is looking for, this is what the league has done, this is what running backs have to adjust to, this is what you guys have to do all the time now?
Right, so if I adjust to that and I'm doing what you're requiring me to do, right, within your offense, I should be paid as such.
So what's it say, like, you're obviously not the biggest Kirk Cousins fan in the world, so especially in the playoffs.
No, I love Kirk Cousins.
All right, so when you're saying a guy like Kirk Cousins, you do a lot of great things in the regular season, 4,000 yards in the regular season, then in the postseason, they need to run the football. Obviously, you need to have a balanced offense because you don't want to be predictable when you're on offense. So what's it say about a team like the Minnesota Vikings, who had such a great season with Kirk Cousins, with Kevin O'Connell, who had a great first season as a head coach. Of course, they got the best wide receiver, in my opinion, in the NFL, but they release Dalvin Cook this offseason. What's that say about the league when you got a team like the Minnesota Vikings, who had that great season with those great players I just talked about, and then they release maybe they're one of the best players on offense out of the backfield.
Yeah, and that just shows you, I feel like that comes with coaching, because like I say, we're going to throw it all over the field in the regular season. Then we get to December, January. That's what our team is used to doing. That's what we're doing. So it's hard to just flip the switch and be like, okay, now we finna focus on this running game because it's gonna get us through the playoffs. You gotta do that all throughout the regular season. So when it comes to the point where it's like it's time for the playoffs, we already used to doing this. Instead of we just used to throwing the ball all over the field. That's one point to it. And the other point that I can say is, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like it was a business decision. They feel like, I think it's the backup is Madison or something like that.
Yep.
They probably feel like they passed the ball so much, they feel like Madison can come in and do what they need Dalvin to do. Because they don't motion Dalvin out of the backfield to throw the ball and stuff because they got plenty of receivers to do it.
Yeah,
they got the best receiver in the game. So I feel like business, on the business side of things, they felt like they could let Dalvin go and have the backup come in and do some of the same things in the running game, being that they don't run the ball as much.
All right, so if you're Saquon Barkley now, he's mentioned, even talked about maybe possibly sitting out the entire season. If you're in his position right now, of course the Giants have franchised him along with Josh Jacobs, with the Raiders franchised him as well. If you're in their position, what are you doing? They haven't signed their tenders. Are you sitting out this entire season, or are you just going back to play and trying to prove that you're worth the money that you want?
I think in their situation, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think they either have to play this season or they got to play a certain amount of games in order to where they won't end up in the same predicament they're in now. Am I right?
Yeah, pretty much. Because these are rookie contracts, they have to play, you know, to get the service amount, they have to do that. So they have to play eventually. They can sit out the season and forfeit the $10 million that they're going to get. But eventually, even if they played, though, CJ, and they played this year and they, you know, say ran for 1,600 yards, Josh Jacobs, another rushing title, they can still franchise him again next year. Maybe for like $14 million.
So two franchises. But my point that I was trying to make, if they sit out this year and they come back and the team can be like, okay, we're still going to franchise you again. Like you don't gain no minimum towards the next contract is what I'm saying. If you sit out the whole year and the team might be like, okay, we're going to pay you. Or they could be like, okay, we're going to franchise tag you again. Now you done sat out the whole year. You done lost $10 million. Same thing like Le'Veon Bell did.
Yep. And he says he regrets that.
$10 million. Now you're coming back. Okay, we're going to franchise tag you again. So now what you going to do? You going to sit out again, or you going to play the franchise tag and you're going to lose $10 million again? Like, what are you going to do? So it's kind of like they're in a situation right now where the team pretty much have the leverage. The team pretty much have all the leverage right now. So if I was in that situation, I would come and play.
Yeah, you're damn as you do, you're damn as you don't. Let's talk about you a little bit, man. What are you up to these days?
Man, just chilling, man. Down here, Orlando, just real estate. Got a few Airbnbs out by Disney and stuff like that. So I just been working on that real hard, getting those furnished and renting out and stuff like that.
Everybody got the Airbnbs these days. I got to invest in the Airbnbs. I understand you're also doing a podcast. The reason I wanted to have you on the show is I actually saw you on the podcast. You're working with my man Eric Weinberg over there.
Yeah. Podcast. I do the, last season I did the 30-13, and then I did the Smash and Dash with me and Lindell White. So we shoot that podcast weekly. Talk about sports, livelihood, all type of stuff, man. So that's been real big for us.
Yeah, Bleed's trying to make things happen over there. How tough is it now? Because you're in that role, I guess you're part of the media in a sense, when you got the podcast, you got your opinion. How tough is it? Because as a player, obviously you heard other people's opinions. Maybe it was from a former player. Maybe it was from a guy who didn't play the game. And, you know, they could be critical sometimes. How hard is it for you to now be in that role?
I feel like for me playing the game and going through those situations and hearing people say things that they you know, that it may look like this on the outside, but they don't really know. I think that helped me out a lot because when I talk about certain people, for instance, when I talk about Kirk Cousins, I love him to death. He's a great player. I'm not talking about him in general. I'm just talking about the situation. Mm. So I would never, like, come out and bash a certain player or anything like that. I would just talk about the situation and what you see with on film. Film don't lie. You know what I'm saying? So I just take that whole aspect of it.
All right. Love. Good luck with that, man, as well. And you're still you're one of the fastest guys in the NFL back in the day. You were a blazer, bro. I used to always have this debate with one of my partners on the air about who was the best running back at the time. You or Adrian Peterson. When you look back at your time between you and Adrian Peterson, because that used to be the biggest debate, who's the best, better running back during your era? How would you assess that matchup?
Me versus AP?
Yep.
I would definitely say I was the best one. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, he played more years than me in different scenarios, going to, you know, continue to play at the back end of your career and stuff like that. But if you line up my best seasons with his best season in our era when we were going back and forth, I'm definitely going myself.
All right. And you also one of the fastest guys in the game. You're still fast?
I'm all right, man. I was out there running with my boys the other day. I felt my hamstring a little bit, so I had to set it down. And not only that, the reason why I say I'm the best for sure, like, I'm the only running back in history to have over 2,500 yards. So nobody ever done that. So
yep.
It is what it is.
Receiving and rushing the football, doing your thing, man. You're definitely one of the best. So, like, you know, here's the thing. When you get a certain age, Chris, and I don't know if you know this because I'm an old guy too, man, you got stretch, bro. You just got to stretch. You got to be able to, you know, pull them hamstrings and stretch them hamstrings out. You can't do the things you used to do unless you're T.O., because T.O.'s a mutant.
Yeah, he's a mutant. I thought I was stretched out good, but, man.
So you're not going to be in one of these races that T.O.'s trying to get together in anytime soon. T.O.'s trying to challenge everybody that used to be fast in the NFL to a race. So you're not going to be...
Man, I'll do it. Know what I'm saying? There's no problem. I'll do it. I can't nobody, none of them old cats, none of them old folks, T.O., Pac-Man, Adam Jones, none of those guys, they can't. I'm the fastest to ever do it, man. They can't stand
that. So the challenge right now, you, Pac-Man, you, Adam Jones, T.O., in a race right now, the three of y'all on a track in, what, give me 2-3 months, and the showdown's going to happen? Can we make that happen?
The showdown is going to be who's coming in second out of one of them. That's going to be the real race. Who's gonna be second? The first is not even a question.
Ooh, I can't wait for T.O. to hear this, man. This is gonna be great. CJ, man, thanks for your time. Appreciate it, man. Best of luck with the podcast and everything you got going on down there. When I come to Florida, man, I'm gonna definitely rent from you in the Airbnb. You got nice Airbnbs. You got good 5-star
nice
ratings.
Real nice. You go to my Instagram, Chris Johnson, TWO8, Chris Johnson 28. The link's in the bio. The Airbnb's there, so. Just, you know, check me out.
Well, since you just gave that endorsement right there, so that means we get free Airbnbs now. Like, that's like we get a deal.
Yeah.
We get a deal around here. Rich Eisen Show, we get a deal.
I'm going to give y'all some 3 days.
Okay. Oh, all right. You heard it right here on the Rich Eisen Show. CJ, man, thanks for your time, my brother.
Thank you.
All right, bro. Chris, y'all heard it.
Yeah. In. Let's go. Orlando.
Vacation. That's Disney World.
Vacation.
Just go down there, man. How about my man Kirk Cousins?
Catching trees.
Am I supposed to apologize for that? I don't know how we do that.
I don't know. Marshall was all over Kirk Cousins this week. Yeah.
I like Kirk Cousins. Have you guys been watching that documentary, Quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh, my, so good.
It is good, man.
It is so good, right?
And it's also, you know, you realize some things. Like, these quarterbacks are really intelligent. Like, you can't be a dummy to be a quarterback in the NFL. And all the players are getting beat up, obviously.
Yeah.
But the amount of beating that these quarterbacks take, man, like Kirk Cousins, you got to kind of give him props, man, because there is shot after shot at him just getting smashed, and you can hear him grimacing and groaning and the pain he's in from his ribs and his sternum. And these guys, they just get up and they keep pushing forward, man. I definitely did get a different type of respect for him after.
That's what I was about to say, man. Kirk Cousins, I know people always come down on him, man, but you know, I've gained so much respect just watching him. I like them as a player, and I'm predicting this year that the Minnesota Vikings are going to win the NFC.
Wait,
I know Dalvin Cook's not there.
The whole NFC?
Yeah, the whole NFC, not just the NFC. Look, they're going to win the NFC North. They're going to win the division.
They are?
Who's going to win the division?
Everyone's on the Lions bandwagon,
nah,
Mike.
I ain't coming. Still the Lions. At the end of the day, still the Lions. I'm sorry. No, they're going to win the NFC North. They're going to win the NFC North. Chicago's going to have an okay year. You know, Justin Fields is going to be all right, whatever. Green Bay is going to be coming down. Even after they lost Aaron Rodgers, they weren't even good last year. So the NFC North is, to me, the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, they had a great season last year. They got close. They got blown out of the playoffs against my Giants. Don't get me wrong. Understand that. But I think
another Chris agrees
year
with you.
Under Kevin O'Connell in that system, man, I really believe. They got the best receiver in the NFL in Justin Jefferson. And I believe Kirk Cousins. Am I going to say this?
You like that?
Do it.
You like that?
Am I going to say this?
Vikings 18-1 to win the NFC right now.
I'm picking them. It's the NFC. I love the Philadelphia Eagles, don't get me wrong, but big I don't see anybody else.
49ers,
that
Cowboys.
Scares me. Questions, 49, who's quarterback right now? Brock Purdy's hurt. Who's? They got a great defense. They lost the defense coordinator, 49ers.
So got
Cowboys
Debo,
to the Cowboys.
McCaffrey.
I mean, what's that mean?
Lions, Seahawks, Saints.
I ain't scared of none of them.
Okay.
I ain't scared of nobody. Philadelphia. Minnesota, I'm telling you, man, I'm a Giants fan. Mm-hmm. And because of the Saquon situation, I'm scared. Now, Dalvin Cook, how are they going to replace him? Because it's hard to replace a Dalvin Cook.
Right.
Their backup running back has less than 100 carries in his NFL career, right? The one that's going to replace him. So what's going to happen there? But I think under Kevin O'Connell, I like Kirk Cousins. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go before we go to break. Kirk Cousins, it's going to come back to haunt me. But I'm going to say it any damn way because I'm bold and I'm Mike Hill and I'm old and I can just blame this on old age if it doesn't work out. Kirk Cousins will finish in the top five in the MVP race this year.
Okay.
You know what? Let's go for it. No. Top three. Ooh. Top three in the NFL race. And the only reason I'm not saying he's going to win it, damn it, is because Patrick Mahomes –
alive?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes still alive, and they got that great quarterback in Cincinnati as well.
Kirk Cousins, 50-1 MVP.
Hey, man, let me go to Vegas. I just came back from Vegas.
Brockman will take your action.
I'll take that. I'll put $100 on Kirk. I put $500 on Kirk Cousins winning MVP.
What?
550-1. What is that? Somebody do the math real quick. What is that?
25,000.
25,000. I'll take that. Kirk Cousins. Look out for you, boy, man. Come on, man. I'm praying for you, man.
your wallet's praying for you.
We kind of touched on a little bit with CJ. I'm going to talk more about the running back markets, and I'm going to tell you why I feel bad but not sorry for NFL running backs. It's coming up next right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
I will say this.
Yes.
I am a man that knows when he's defeated.
Yes.
I was beaten this year.
Yes.
So my business manager was supposed to have the hat for us. He did not.
Oh, we're throwing Jamal under the bus. Who are we throwing under the bus right now?
He did not bring
that. Who is thrown under the bus by the bus just right now?
He didn't even show his face. I was willing to wear this hat. He had it made up.
Well, he told me that the hat that he made up had the final score.
No, he had the hat on there. Whatever. It was a hat. I don't know what that was.
The hat is supposed to read the following.
I am going to listen to this.
Okay.
Hear this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hail to the victors, valiant hail to the conquering heroes. Hail to Michigan, the leaders and best.
Wow.
That is for you.
Wow.
Only.
Wow.
You know it.
I honestly
what
did
it
not.
Took for me to do that.
I honestly can't have thought of anything else that you would do that would make me think that you would not have to follow through on your end of the wager, which is where I should have gone to Michigan hat on the vaunted field of Notre Dame with touchdown Jesus behind you. But do I let him out of that end of the bet now?
He's that good, was man. Pretty epic, actually. And he nailed all the words.
Well, he grew up in the state of Michigan. He should know them. He should know them.
I mean, that was like 40 years ago.
I did not know them. I had to look them up to make sure I was saying it correctly for you.
Also, I'm getting visions of, like, Jerome practicing before he came out here.
That did sound rehearsed.
Yeah, it sounded rehearsed. That was great.
That took a lot out of me.
Great job, Jerome.
You know that.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, Mike Hill filling in for Rich today. Give us a call at 844-204-RICH. You want to have your voice heard. We're taking names for the Washington football team. Want to get your opinion on that. We just had CJ on, Chris Johnson, former NFL running back, three-time Pro Bowler on, talking about the NFL running backs, and he's talking about the need still for NFL running backs in this league. But I feel bad for NFL running backs. I really do, because we just saw a TV segment, the archive of Jerome Bettis. I remember the glory years of Jerome Bettis, Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, guys like that, when the running back position was thriving and everybody had a great running back, LaDainian Tomlinson back in the day, obviously. But here's what I will say. While I feel bad for NFL running backs, I can't feel sorry for them. Only because things evolve. In life, we all evolve. In my business and what I do, I've had to evolve. When I came into this business, everybody wanted to be a SportsCenter anchor. I became a SportsCenter anchor. SportsCenter anchors are, you hardly even see people on SportsCenter anymore. You know why? Because things like this have taken over, which is great. And I love this conversational thing, but the bait has taken over. You have got to change with the times. And if you don't change with the times, you're going to be left behind. Who remembers Kodak Films? Kodak Film. Yeah. Remember that back in the day? Remember when you took a picture?
Polaroid.
Got it.
Polaroids. Shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture. Remember that? You had to change with time. Polaroid decided they wanted. Digital became the end thing to do. Polaroid didn't change fast enough. Blockbuster Video.
There you go.
Remember you had, on Fridays, you went to Blockbuster, prayed that they had your VHS tape.
Yeah, you did.
Prayed that you had your DVD.
New release day.
You prayed. You went there. You still got it. You got it. Oh, you got 10 copies.
Can you hold one?
Right. You know what I'm saying? And you stayed there sometimes hoping somebody would return it.
I'm sorry.
Look in the bin.
Mike, I'm sorry, but I would love to go back to those Blockbusters. People today that don't have that experience, I feel bad for, because that was fun.
That was fun. It was also nerve-wracking, but that was the glory. But they had to evolve. And Blockbuster didn't evolve into the digital age.
Into the Netflix,
and the streaming and everything changes, man. This is how I go. NBA's evolved. Shaq used to dominate. The big man used to dominate back in the day.
Shaquille O'Neal used to dominate.
Barbecue chicken.
Anybody down there? I think I could evolve. I could shoot.
Shaq would have to shoot threes now. Shaq would have to have a 15-foot jumper now. Now, Shaq is, he may be an exception to the rule, but the game is not the way it used to be played. It's a outside-in game. It is a Steph Curry type of game. It's the threes. That's why I say in the NFL, Emmitt Smith's rushing record will never be touched, because it's never going back to that, because it's more like 7-on-7 football now. So if you're a running back, you have got to basically become a wide receiver playing running back. Mm-hmm. You better be like Deebo Samuel. Deebo, when's Deebo's contract up?
He just got paid.
Yeah, he just got paid. Last year. How much did he get paid?
Same line.
Yeah, Deebo. So you better be one of those hybrid guys, because even on defense now. So remember, safeties used to be – Roy Williams was a good – you know the Cowboys.
Roy Williams, my man.
Roy Williams was a safety – a linebacker playing safety. He should have been a linebacker because he – but the problem with Roy Williams is he could kill you in a run game. Mm-hmm. He would destroy running backs. He would hit you harder than anybody. If he caught you coming across the middle, he would destroy you. But he couldn't cover. Right?
Yeah, that was
the problem.
Debo re-up for big money. 3 years, $71.5 million, $58 million guaranteed.
What position does Debo play?
He's listed as a wide receiver.
Okay, he's listed as, but he plays a lot of, he's out of the backfield too, right?
He gets a lot of carries.
You better become Debo Samuels. If you're a high school running back right now, you're coming up, you better learn how to play the game like Debo Samuels, because that's the only way you're going to get into the NFL and get paid. Now, the running back position will still be there. You're still going to have great players that can catch the ball. Chris Johnson can catch the ball out of the backfield. Danny Thompson can catch the ball out of the backfield. Back in the day, Roger Craig. Remember that? Who remember that? Thousand rushing. Yeah.
Marshall.
Marshall. Guys like that, catching the ball out of the backfield. You have got to do three things if you're a running back right now. You have got to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. You got to be able to pass protect.
Very important.
Very important. People think that's why, like, I look at, like, Jahmyr Gibbs, who just got drafted. I think the Lions just picked him up out of Alabama. And I love Jahmyr Gibbs. Don't get me wrong. I'm an Alabama fan. I saw that sometimes he had problems in the pass protection game. So that could be something he's got to work on.
Well, TJ,
as an NFL.
That's what makes Zeke so good.
Yeah.
Zeke can pass block.
But you also, the most important thing for a running back now, you better stay healthy. Like, Saquon Barkley, I love. I'm a Giants fan. Love Saquon Barkley. Had a healthy season last year. His best season since his rookie season. But they're looking at the two seasons in between as to one of the reasons why he probably won't be getting that long-term contract, which is a shame. We'll talk more about that and other things coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show on the radio side. But we're still on Roku. Still here.
Still on Roku, and we got some running back news.
What's the running back news?
Free agent Melvin Gordon.
Okay.
Signs with the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay. What, like a one-year deal?
One-year deal can earn up to $3.1 million per Adam Schefter.
Okay. All right. Melvin Gordon.
That's your running back market right now.
Think about the play. Who's still out there? It's still running back. I'm like Saquon's still unsigned. I know the Giants have his rap, right?
Kareem Hunt's still out there.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt's still out there.
Leonard Fournette was visiting the Patriots this week.
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
Dalvin
Cook's got options. We know that.
Yep.
I think he turned down the deal from the Dolphins or whatever. But at the same time, man, running backs out there. So, and they know it. But I was surprised that Bijan Robinson got drafted in the first round, even though he's a great running back. Don't get me wrong. But that's what they do. I think that's the formula now. It's the draft running back. Let them play 4 or 5 seasons, wear them out or whatnot. And then it's time to draft another running back and let this other running back go. Because, once again, it's a passing league. Like I was telling Chris Johnson before, Troy Aikman's in the Hall of Fame. I don't think Troy Aikman ever had a 4,000-yard season. He in the Hall of Fame. That's how it was back then. You ran the football. You passed very often. You passed the ball on third down, maybe on second and long. But you ran the ball. 3 yards and what? Cloud of what?
Cloud of dust.
Cloud of dust, man. Cloud of dust. We're going to have some fun in the next hour as well. The great comedian Godfrey is going to come on and join us, talk about the comic world, and, of course, he played football in Illinois. That's coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.